Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Baseball isn't boring with Bradfo on WEEI.
Let's get you out of my hair. Fresh photos with the bar lighting. New man on the Minnesota Vikings. True.
All right, baseball isn't boring. We're back. Better than ever. Great first couple hours. Thanks to Joe Braverman. Thank you, Joe. Thank you for being you.
I do what I can.
Thank you for being you.
All I just like you said, honesty.
You can only do what you can do, right? And what you're doing is plenty enough. All right, that's Joe Braverman. I'm Rob Bradford. We want to thank the Play Tessie guys already coming on live from Portland. That game's going on in Sea Dog World. As I said, I went out to Worcester and I watched Vaughn Grissom play yesterday. I saw all those guys. Saw Barrel Man, Jamie Westbrook. Saw Zach Kelly. He's ready to go. He's ready to be called up. Saw everybody. It was great. It was great to be out in Worcester. People there are so friendly. People in Portland so friendly. So it's so awesome. So if you want to have the weigh in on the conversation we've been having, which is a lot of Red Sox stuff, a lot of Red Sox stuff, a lot of broadcast stuff, John Sterling doing press conferences, being honored all over the place at Yankee Stadium today. John Sterling, 1989, he started the Yankees broadcast. Been doing it ever since. And as we said before, where we had the conversation about broadcasters, he was unique. There's not enough people willing to be as unique as he was. And as the caller said, you know, he said, I'm going to miss Joe whenever Joe leaves, Joe Castiglione, because that's all people who grew up the Red Sox the last 40 years know. That's the soundtrack of how they fell in love with baseball. And so you got to get to that point. You have to have these broadcasters who are like that. They do it a little bit differently. They're honest. Maybe they have their own panache, whatever it is. Anyway, we had that conversation. We're going to be talking with Lou a little bit about him doing play-by-play last night, which was awesome. But we had the interview with Kenley Jansen. And you can go check out the entire interview at BB Isn't Boring. Baseball's and Boring Podcast, in case you don't know how to do this. We yell, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Joe, how many people do you think actually understand, like, how to subscribe to a podcast? I mean, I'm all seriousness.
In a general podcast, not just yours, I would say I would go a little bit more than half.
Okay, so especially talk radio, let's be honest, it runs a little bit longer, runs a little bit older. So I don't think that even half. So my point is that, okay, you know, let's basically find a way to get people subscribed. Subscribe. What you do, Google it, Baseball Isn't Boring. It'll pop up. Let's say iTunes. Then I'll say follow. What happens? You follow it. Or do it on your phone. Do it on your phone. Boom. In the morning, you wake up. It's there. You hit play. You listen to it. It's that simple. Well, maybe we'll do a tutorial. A video tutorial on App PB in the book. All right, we can take a break because Lou has to join us in a little bit. So we got to take a quick break here. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to get to your calls. We're going to get Lou Malone. I did want to talk to Lou, so that's why we're breaking now. So if we could do that, Joe, is that all right, Joe? All right. Let's take a quick break. You got a trend ready to go? All right, we're going to trend. We're going to talk to Lou. We're going to talk to you, 617-779-7937. We've got a lot of great stuff going on. Baseball isn't boring. Here's Joe trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Bruins begin their run towards a Stanley Cup. It's game one of their first round series with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Coach Jim Montgomery still not revealing who the goaltender will be. Toronto coach Sheldon Keefe says that it's a possibility still that forward William Nylander is in the lineup. Puck drop from TD Garden is set for 8 o'clock. Red Sox easily defeated the Pirates in game one of their series from Pittsburgh. 8-1, your final score. Sox have 4 home runs from Willie Abreu, Tristan Casas. Those two came in the first inning. Rob Refsnyder and Sadan Rafaela. Brian Bayo got the win, his best start of the year, allowing 1 hit and striking out 7 over 6 innings. Game two of this 3-game set will take place this afternoon. Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione and Lou Maloney have the call from PNC Park at 4:05 on the Shaw's of Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Cutter Crawford with the start for the Sox opposite Mitch Keller for the Buccos. Joe Weil will get everything started in a little less than an hour from now with the Mass Mutual pregame show. That's at 3:05, Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. Celtics now know their playoff fate as the Heat defeated the Bulls 112-91 last night, which sets up an Eastern Conference Finals rematch in the first round between Miami and Boston. Game 1 from TD Garden will tip off tomorrow afternoon at 1. Over in the Western Conference, the Pelicans eliminated the Kings 105-98. They'll advance to the playoffs. They are the 8th seed. They're going to take on top-seeded Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round. And the Revolution hit the road to face Toronto FC tonight at 7:30. The Revs sit at the bottom of the Eastern Conference with 4 points at 1 win, 1 draw, and 5 losses. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
I've been trying to prepare myself emotionally because even Hall of Fame Joe, like, it won't go forever, so I'm trying to get prepared. But I think that if Lou takes over, I think he's got the chops for it. He talks like a ball player without being a caricature or gimmicky. I think he's got what it takes. And if I could, whether if it's Nesson or WEEI, somebody better open the checkbook and slide it over. I know Lou's got a family, and I know Lou, like, the season, Lou knows as well as anybody that the season is a grind, right? But if I'm in charge, I'm sliding a blank check over and saying, you fill this out.
Well, I gotta be honest with you. I mean, ever since we turned on the electricity at noon, Joe Braverman, that's all we've been talking about. Just people saying, give Lou Maloney a blank check. That's it. That's it.
Why don't we just give them Lou Maloney?
We could get the rebuttal. Lou's like, no. I do it for the great game of baseball. I don't need to be paid. Lou, how
are
you?
I like that guy's theory a lot more, to be perfectly honest with you. That's probably the best call I've heard in the EI. I've been on that radio for 17 years. Number one call of the year. Of the decade.
That's why that's our gift to you. That is, we pay in T-shirts, smiles, and sound bites. But in all sincerity, Lou, I was driving last night and back from Worcester to see Vaughn. I watched Vaughn Grissom make one play, and then I drove home.
Nice.
That's all I needed. Your play-by-play was excellent. I loved it. I just want to, before we get into the Red Sox, I do want to get your perspective of doing that. I know you've done it a little bit, but how did it feel? How do you feel about it?
Awful. it just kind of speeds up. The problem, to be honest with you, is that, like, I did a little bit in camp, but, you know, we're actually down, like, the second level in camp. This is, like, it's one of the highest press boxes – in the league. And when you, you know, when I do color, I look at the monitor because I want to see what the people are seeing, whether if it's TV, but even on radio, I want to see the pitch. I want to see if it missed. I just see things. But when you're doing play-by-play, you can't look at the monitor. You look at the field. And we're so far away that, honestly, the Refschneider home run to right center, I thought it was just a line drive in the gap because you can't really see height that well. Like, it's not a fun place to break in.
No.
Play-by-play at all. But it's still fun. I don't care. You know, whatever. It's like anything else. You try it the first time, you slow things down, and hopefully you do a little better job.
And it is, people don't understand that. That press box, the Washington press box,
yeah,
is the same way.
Same way.
And you're so right about fly balls. It's you're looking at it like from a blimp. So
yeah, I saw the TV, the replay of it, and I'm like, boy, it actually was hit in the air, obviously, you know, like a bomb to right center. But from where I was, I really felt like it was just a line drive in right center over the second baseman's head. You know, it's an interesting perspective.
Well, I thought you did excellent, and I am proclaiming it. We do baseball as a boring home run call of the day every day. You get the home run call of the day. Congratulations, Lo.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Line drive in the gap, it's going to get down. Wait, it's gone.
As unique?
I actually had somebody on that cesspool was like, hey, you got to relax. You got to be yourself. You got to do that. You got to do all that. I'm like, dude, shut up. It's like
yourself.
The first time I ever did it. Will you freaking relax,
You were good. I was having, like, obviously been in there. I thought you navigated off. And I'm not just saying this because you're on, but I thought you did an excellent job of navigating because you're navigating the pitch. You're navigating the stories. You're navigating the information. And then you're navigating the moment.
And the two reads every half.
And the two reads, and you did an awesome job of the reads. I know
and
that,
us producers no, getting and, on your and, ass
and,
for that.
And nobody cares about that, like how well you do the reads. But honestly, Lou, I'm driving. I'm like, wow, he's doing the reads really well today.
It's another perspective too, because like the first inning, I did the fourth inning, and their guy Priester had like a 10-pitch 1-2-3, and then Bayo had a 10-pitch 1-2-3 in the bottom half, and I'm like, with 10 pitches in a pitch clock, how the hell am I going to do Shaw's chickens on sale for $8.97?
You know, it's exactly what the Chilean miners were complaining about, too.
Yeah,
you know?
The Norwegian salmon. It's so good, it deserves more time than that.
I know. But, hey, listen, all in all, like I said, home run call of the day, excellent job. All right. So, we honestly have had some good broadcasting talk because of the John Sterling stuff, which is so before we get to the Red Sox, I do want to ask you, you know, I had Sweeney Murdy on talking about John Sterling, and we said, listen, the guy was unique, and that's what you want. And I tell young Joe Braverman, I think that's the problem. There's not enough people who are willing to be unique, be themselves, break off from the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, and just be genuine. That's one of the things I love about you. From your perspective, and there's no right or wrong answer to this, but where do you see broadcasting is at? Because that we should reflect on it because of the John Sterling thing now.
Well, I can't speak for everybody, but I've always been like, you know, you have to be yourself and then let people decide if they like it or not. You know, like, and even it's a talk radio or broadcast or just like, you know, you can't keep faking it and trying to be somebody else, you know? So I like the uniqueness, like you mentioned, you know, of him. And it's one of those things that's what he's remembered for, you know, like I could ask you who the play-by-play guy is and name a team. And you're like, I have no idea. Your name of the Yankees, and it's not just because it's Red Sox Yankees, but it's unique. His calls were unique, and I think it, you know, did he force some of it? Maybe, but it just sort of turned organic. You know what I mean? Like it was who he was. So, yeah, I like different.
Yeah,
you know?
I do too. Yeah, and I think that we need more of it. Anyway, so speaking of different, this Red Sox team,
the math
would suggest they're 11-10.
Yeah,
which is unbelievable. I mean, it's sort of unbelievable. They're actually, Lou, same record as the Rangers with the exact same run differential. I think plus 11 or something like that. And they're doing it in completely different ways. If there was ever an example of how important starting pitching is the 2024 Red Sox, because if you did not have historic starting pitching, you would not be even close to 11-10. What's your take on this team right now?
Yeah, I think the pitching, you know, when the season started, it was like the biggest question was depth. And I remember sitting there saying, the problem people are making is like they're kind of second-guessing the actual talent in the rotation. You know, we might try to figure out, not know what guys are, but there is talent. The issue is depth when inevitably somebody goes down. And as good as the rotation is, the reality is they only have 3/5 of it. You know, Whitlock's on the IL. Pivetta's on the IL. So all of it is true. Like, it's still an issue. But they've been throwing the hell out of the ball. The back end of the bullpen, a little bit shaky at times. You know, Kenley blew one, but still shaky a little. And they haven't really gotten going offensively, even though they're second in the league in home runs with 28, and 19 are solo, which kind of tells you they're not, because they're not getting guys on enough, right? So 11-10, we know why they're 11-10. It's because of the defense. They'd be better with this pitching and being second in American League or baseball and home runs. You should have a better record, but you've cost yourself too many games here defensively.
All right, so you've been around the team for a couple days. Do you think they're going to come to their senses and just play Rafaela at shortstop?
I think they have. Because you faced two righties the last couple of days, and last night and tonight, and Rafaela's in there. And I think the decision comes out to, do you want Rafaela at short and Refsnyder in an outfield, or do you want Hamilton at short and then no Refsnyder in the lineup? And I think offensively, you need Refsnyder. You need Abreu. When these guys go down, you need those bats. And quite frankly, Rafaela is a better defensive shortstop. I think the transition, they'll be... You know, it'll take a little bit of time, as we saw in the first ground ball, but that slow roller he made up the middle, I don't think anybody other than Rafaela makes that play in story. So he's the best defensive shortstop they have. He should be there every day.
Yeah, and I think, to me, Lou, run out Grissom, run out Rafaela, let them play together, boom. It's the highest upside they're going to have, and you know, enough is enough. Like, you have to figure out what the best potential with what you have is until you actually can get to the deadline or a deadline.
No, I agree. And I think they're going to be patient with Grissom because, you know, he did miss all the camp and he's still transitioning at second base and they want to get comfortable. But especially with Refsnyder back and once O'Neill comes back, Rafael is your shortstop, mm-hmm. you know, everyday shortstop. And Duran's in center and O'Neill and Refsnyder and Abreu, that's your outfield. So they might take some time here with Grissom just to make sure he's okay, you know, and physically, whatever, just have him give himself a camp, because I think once they settle those spots in, then they look in and say, okay, now we got Reyes, or now we got Hamilton, or now we got Valdez who can play second before Grissom gets here. Romy Gonzalez will come back. So in about a week or so, 10 days, it could look like a little different roster, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. And you know, one of the underrated things about Grissom, I'm like, we don't know. I mean, he hasn't played a lot of second base, but he's athletic. Like, people understand how athletic he is, and that's what they've been screaming. We have to be more athletic. Well, he's 6'2", 6'3", and he's athletic. So there you go. He can dunk. There you go.
and you know, like, again, Gonzalez, I like to see more of him, of Romy. When Devers comes back every day, if Rafael is at short, now you're talking about Romy Gonzalez, utility guy, or Grissom's at second, and, you know, you got a big turnover in the infield. Until then, you try to figure it out.
Okay, last thing, Lou. We are power rankings, the reasons for pitchers' injuries. I've been asking people all week, asked Kenley, asked Daniel Bard, asked a bunch of people. And everybody gives sort of a different number one. What's the Lou Maloney's number one?
For reason for pitch injuries?
Yes, for this epidemic of pitcher's injuries.
Well, I think chasing elite stuff and everything is power is one. And slightly below that would be the lack of any kind of gripping the baseball. To me, the pitch clock is dead last. If you want to give it 1%, 2%, 3%, the only reason why the pitch clock is an issue is because of guys chasing elite stuff, and because of the power and everything else, they now need more time. So it's like, but I still don't put it in the pitch clock.
Okay. Well, Kenley Jansen disagrees, but that's why, you know, it's America.
Mm-hmm.
And I also
think he thinks the grip is probably important, seeing he's talking about the ball.
Well, that same day. So that the before the game is when he did the podcast. It was railing about the pitch clock. And then after the game was when what's the baseballs.
But the reason why the pitch clock, some of those guys might think it, is because they're chasing so much power, and because of that, they now need more time.
Right.
But it's the reality is well, what's why does the pitch clock an issue? Because you're chasing so much power that you need more time.
Yeah.
You know, so it still comes down to chasing more elite stuff.
Well, and I agree about the power, too. And but another part of that conversation is the power early in your life. You know, I think Bard said this, is that Spencer Strider, that generation, what is he, mid-20s, generation, all they've known is specialize in throwing the ball hard, and that's how you get recognized. More than when you came up, certainly. Yeah. So, right?
100%. And, I mean, it's at every single level. I mean, I'm seeing it, my kid's 14. And it's still about what did I throw? How hard did I throw? How hard did I hit it? What's my exit velocity? Like, it's just, that's all they really care about. And it's like, yeah, okay, you just walked four straight, but you're throwing your ass off. You know, I mean, you're throwing it real hard, but this you just walked four guys, you know, and it's just unfortunately where we're at, and you try to fight it as much as you can.
All right. Well, I could talk to you all day long, but you got a broadcast to prepare for. You're going to be play-by-play in the fourth again?
I believe four and five, and at some point the six might slip in there.
Let's go.
This week.
Let's go. All right. Yeah. Well, I hope that soundbite made your day. It's our gift to you. Well deserved.
I appreciate it.
All right. We'll use that as your ringtone. It'll
I just
be awesome.
Found my new agent.
All right. All right, Lou. Thanks, man.
All right. See you guys.
All right. The great Lulu Merlone, live from PNC Park. Right? It's still called PNC Park, right, Joe? Right? In Pittsburgh. One of the nicest, underrated ballparks there is. There's not even a question. And I see everybody talking about the Roberto Clemente Bridge and how great the museums, and it's super. It's great. It's great. And that's when it comes to ballparks, you know, it's kind of a shame that this trip to Pittsburgh is so early in the calendar year or in the season, because this is the Pittsburgh trip would be an awesome. You want to take a destination with the kids, school vacation, that it is. In the summertime on the river there, it's great. One of the top five ballparks. I'm going to say it. Top five ballparks. We're already starting the power rankings.
Power five ballparks?
No, that's somebody else.
No?
five. Let's see. Top five ballparks. All right? And I still want your power rankings for top five teams in baseball, Joe. But I'm going to give you top five ballparks that I look forward to going to. And I'm not going to say Fenway Park, because they're disqualified. All right, Camden Yards, I'm saying number one. Pittsburgh's, I'm not going to put it, I'll say five. Camden Yards, Pittsburgh, Wrigley. Wrigley, because of what it's around Wrigley more than anything. And I'm going through the list, and we're doing this on the fly. And so I'm going to tell you, Joe, this is very controversial. Place I love going to, because I get more work done there than ever, because it has the biggest visitors clubhouse and there's no place for them to hide. Tropicana Field.
Wow. Everyone
hates Tropicana Field. For working purposes, I love it. I love Tropicana Field. I'll tell you another one. So Tropicana Field, I'm not putting them in the top five. So what did I say? The Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. Yeah, Camden Yards.
Wrigley, Camden Yards. Atlanta. Atlanta's up there. New ballpark. Pretty good. And I think I need one more. Oh, I got it. Dodger Stadium.
That's a given.
Oh, Dodger Stadium. Yeah. I mean, listen, when I can walk into a gate and the first thing I see is a 30-foot mural of my co-author, which is a fact. That is one of your favorite stadiums. And one of the things about Dodger Stadium, have you ever been there?
I have not, unfortunately.
All right, so one
it's
of the,
on the bucket list.
One of the cool things is that usually like the entrance you go to, it's a ravine, Chavez Ravine. So you walk in and the field's like down. Like you're already at the top level. So, yeah. So anyway, I very controversial top five list, but, you know, it is what it is. All right. Before we go to a break, and on the other side of the break, we're going to be talking about Joe Braverman's top five teams in baseball, the power rankings. Before we do this, I'm going to lean on you for something else.
Fire away.
Which is what we just were talking about with Lou at the end of that conversation, and what Kenley Jansen said. Now, I wish I could play some of the Kenley interview for Lou, because I do give Kenley credit for this. So in case you missed the Kenley Jansen interview, he talked about how pitch clock for him was the top of the list for the injuries. But he integrated the oxygen, the breathing, and all of that. Like, and to me, I kind of get that. You have to replenish yourself, your muscles, your fibers, whatever it is. Lou obviously doesn't agree with that, or doesn't agree with the whole pitch clock thing. He put it at power. The overall Kenley Jansen interview, I love takeaways. Joe Braverman, your takeaway.
I would say the fact that he's very, maybe not dug in, might not be the right word, but he's convinced maybe that pitch clock is the biggest issue for all these injuries. I think to me is a little bit surprising, because I think the pitch clock, really, you only he's in the minority of pitchers that hate it. I would say overall, the general population of baseball love the pitch clock.
No. You just said two different things. You said the pitchers. You said the overall the pitchers hate. You're saying that overall the pitchers love it, and all of baseball loves it. All of baseball loves it, but I can tell you the pitchers still don't love it. They've gotten used to it. The pitchers don't love it. What are you, crazy?
That's just, I feel like it's a minority.
Don't back down.
I feel like, though, that Jansen and these some of these pitchers, I mean, I can't name another one off the top of my head who has said outwardly.
Oh, Pivetta. I mean, Pivetta is what? Okay, let's put it this way. Joe, is that pitchers have come to accept it. Why would the pitchers love it? Why would the pitchers like say, I could tell them why they should, which is, hey, usually when you pitch faster, you're pitching well and you get in a groove and whatever. But conversely, what also happens is that if you're not in a groove and you're doing poorly, it spirals out of control because you don't have that time. So why would pitchers love it? Why would they say, oh my goodness, it's so great. Tanner Houck, he pitched an hour and 49-minute game the other day. He didn't even have he had no idea it was an hour and 49-minute. For Tanner Houck, it could have been 4 hours.
Yeah,
These guys don't know.
I misspoke when I said pitchers would love it. I said all of baseball.
All right.
That's what I was trying to say. The majority of the baseball community are fans of the pitch clock. I think the bigger issue, though, I like Kenley Jansen. You know him better than I do, but I like him as well. But I disagree with that being the big issue because I think it has to do with what Lou was saying, with the grip, the fact that they've completely eliminated the sticky substance, the fact that it has to be a natural grip rather than using, you know, even the rosin bag doesn't even work.
No, and in case people don't understand, and I'm with everything. Like I think it's all of it. And some of it we can prove, some of it we can't. But the grip thing, in case people don't understand, when they took away the sticky stuff, now pitchers have to hold the ball with more torque. They have to hold it tighter. And when you're doing that, you're putting more exertion on your arm. So, and I know that that's come out a lot lately, but I do think that's a very real thing.
Right. And when you have the season starting in late March, early April, in maybe some cities and places that are outside still in this cold weather environment. You go to places like up here in Boston, New York, Philly. I mean, you name it. Everywhere that has these cold temperatures, you take away that sticky substance. You're making them grip harder. That to me is the biggest factor as to why all these injuries.
And you're right. And this is Bart said this on the podcast. It's like Colorado, good luck. You know, it's altitude, it's dryness, it's everything. It's just, especially this time of year, it's like it's really, really, really difficult. So I think it's a good conversation. Like, and it's not gonna let up. We had Ben McDonald on last week. We had Kenley Jansen on this week. We'll probably have someone on next week. I don't know, but it's pitchers keep getting hurt, and there's a reason for it. And you know, some people are digging in. Some people are defensive about it. Other people say we got to get to the bottom of it. We got to find out. I don't think anything's going to change.
It could be also a certain, not saying it's absolutely this, but it just could be one of those crazy circumstances where there's a year where there's a ton of injuries.
Maybe. But one of the things that Ben McDonald said last week, which struck me, was he said, I've talked to guys who have tried to learn the sweeper and they've given them up because it started hurting their elbow. That is another thing that's always in the back of my mind. All right. Well, what's on the front of my mind is I love a good power ranking. And especially when I don't agree with a power ranking, like producer Evan of the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast at BB Isn't Boring. As I said before, Cleveland Guardians, number two. You've already proclaimed Joe Braverman. They are not going to be in your top five. But who is going to be number one? I know who I would have number one, not even close. All right? Your top five power rankings, very controversial. Get ready because social media is going to get ready to take off on you. All right, but
I'll be ready for the backlash.
Let's do it. All right, do that right after this.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Smoke weed every day.
All right, you were pitching a perfect game until that. Come on,
let's go.
Joe Braverman, that is not a sanctioned rejoin. Nope. This is the Baseballs and Boring podcast. I am Rob Bradford. That is Joe Braverman.
Shows how much I know about 420.
I know that Chris Curtis said that he has partaken in marijuana once in his life. Never.
Same. Never.
Never. And stick that way. I'm like, I reached this far. Like, do I think it's going to kill me? No. But never. Not once. Not once. Good for you. You and I. You and I. We're jumping off of Thelma and Louise going off the cliff.
Stay in school, kids.
Stay the kids. Hey, it's my basketball camp speech. Stay in school. Stay off the drugs. Right? Come on. By the way, you're a basketball guy.
I am.
I went back and watched the Jim Valvano 30 for 30. It's good, man. I didn't realize, though, like all the stuff that after they won the national championship, NC State beat Houston, like all the stuff that that school went through, like the scandals and everything. But I know I'm dating myself, but still it's a good doc. It's a good 30 for 30. I love docs. Love them. Love them. All right, well, also the Netflix, I don't know if you know that the Netflix are falling on the Red Sox.
I know. I wanted to ask, like, are you getting used to them a little bit more now?
I am. I'm not part of it. I just hope that the Baseballs and Boring t-shirts are part of it. But yeah, they're very nice people. They're working hard. They're around. I don't think it's coming out. I thought it was coming out in, like, January, February. I don't think it's coming out till like, next April. So... there's a long way to go. They're obviously there almost every day. There's a ton of footage, but you know, as they say, the story's yet to be told. And people say, "Oh, it's what if they're like a lousy?" Like, listen, they make Netflix those docs. They make even the most mundane things look interesting. I mean, the Last Chance U, which is the same crew, made junior college athletics look interesting. So. Good guys. I look forward to seeing what they produce, and it just adds a little spiciness to this entire equation. All right. Here we go. It's power ranking time. I've been talking about the Red Sox, been talking about the state of baseball, been talking about broadcasting, talking about all the stuff on the Baseball Isn't Boring show. Got a few more minutes before the pregame show with Joe Weil. But before we get to the pregame show, it's everybody's favorite time of the show. Which is Joe Braverman's top five teams in baseball.
Yes, sir.
Let's go. All right, you doing 5-1?
I'm going 5-1 on this one. So let me just cue up this graphic here.
All right, let's do it.
Number 5.
Thank you, Greg Hillshow, for that one. 5, I'm going with the Dodgers. I know they're 12-10 right now, but they've got one of the best rosters, maybe the best roster in the game.
They're a half game up on the Red Sox.
Yes, but they're still... the best player in baseball right now, Mookie Betts. There's still Shohei Ohtani. There's still Freddie Freeman. It's very, very early on. I am not going to sell myself short on the Dodgers. They're still one of the better teams out there.
So, as we said before, with power rankings, you can either go with just flat out, here's the records, here's who's winning, or you can go with your gut. I like the gut. I like that when you're going with your instincts. And I agree with you. Right now, if you had to go and say which team is the top five team in baseball, even though they're 12-10, it's the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah. How many championship teams do you know have gotten off to slow starts?
A lot. So, all right. And, including, by the way, the Texas Rangers.
Exactly.
So, all right. What's number 4?
Number 4.
4, I'm going to go with the Orioles on this one. I know Jackson Holliday is struggling. That's an understatement, pretty much. But I still like their young core. I still like their pitching, how they're lined up with Corbin Burns, leading the way. I think, again, this is a young team that's still learning. They're, what, a little bit over a year since all of them have basically become major leaguers. So I'm not too worried about Baltimore and how they've started.
I can't argue with that. Talent-wise, one of the best teams. Jackson Holliday, not off to a good start, though.
Yes, but how many rookies do you know?
No, I'm not crapping on him. I mean, it's just like I'm just stating a fact. I mean,
yes.
He could go 10-for-10. It's not like I don't think he's going to be a good player. It's fine. But what does he do?
But if that's the only guy in your lineup that's struggling and he's still got a huge potential.
Can I tell you, like, as I mentioned, Joe, earlier this week on the Baseball is Important podcast, I had on Mike Trout. And so we were talking about that topic, which is like when you're called up, because all these top guys are getting called up. Okay, Mike, what was it like when you got called up? He's like, it's a million miles an hour. And I went back and looked. Sure enough, he hit ninth. He hit ninth that first game. And people forget Mike Trout was called up. And then the next year, he didn't make the team. Then he wasn't called up until later April. Now, that might have been like contract manipulation or whatever. But still, like, he was hitting ninth his first game. Just like Jackson Holliday. All right, what do you got for number three?
Number three.
I'm going to do the Phillies on this one.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm going to take a big swing on the Phillies. I still like how that roster is put together. I know a lot of them are struggling right now. I got the numbers in front of me. Castellanos, not doing too hot. Kyle Schwarber, doing his usual really low batting average, but still 5 home runs on the year. Ultimately, it's a home run-driven game, and I think they've got some of the best in the business. I think Castellanos is going to turn it around. Bryce Harper will continue to hit as well. Trey Turner as well. I'm not souring too much on the Phillies the way they've started.
By the way, Jackson Holliday right now, 1-for-27. 1-for-27.
Bobby Dalbec is making him jealous.
1-for-27 with 15 strikeouts. Wow. Anyway, Phillies, hey. I had them at the top of the list or top five heading in this year. Their vibes are off the charts. They have a great clubhouse. They have a lot of guys. They did it last year. It's about staying healthy. And they've had some guys step up, too, in terms of they did not expect. So I can't argue. So anyway, all right, three might be a little high, but I'm not going to argue with you. Here you go.
Number two.
I'm going to say the Braves on this one.
Oh.
I know it might be a little bit risky, and I know they they lost their ace, Spencer Strider, so maybe for the big picture it's a little bit risky, and they don't have Ozzie Albies, but I still think Ronald Acuna, with the type of player that he is, he can still impact a game as much as he can. Still one of the best rosters constructed. And the beauty with losing Strider is, yeah, you might lose a big-time ace, but you've got enough arms behind you that they can make it up. So I like the Braves.
Okay. So you like the Braves. And the Braves right now, as we sit here, the Braves are 13-5 plus 34 run differential, which, again, front offices like geek out over. Okay. Two teams with the highest, they're tied for the highest run differential in all of baseball, are not on your list, not in the top five. Who are they, Joe Braverman?
Is one of them the Guardians?
One of the Guardians.
All right. Who would that other one be in run differential? Is it the Rangers?
No, I just told you the Rangers. The Rangers are the same as the Red Sox, plus 11. No, I'm going to tell you who it is. Same division as the Guardians. The Royals.
You know what? I wanted to put Kansas City on there, but I still don't believe
you chose.
I went the big picture side of things for my Rangers.
So it's tough. You would put them at six, though. The Royals at six.
I would say they're in the top 10, yes.
Okay, well, that's a tough one. And I mean, the Royals, the Guardians. The Royals are a fascinating team. They are, in case people, all you provincial people, just focus on the Red Sox. If you want to digest the great game of baseball and what's going on, take a look at the Royals, the Michael Wacha led Royals. All right, I know who number one is.
Number one.
You could even say it for me if you wanted to.
That is the Bronx Bombers. The Bronx Bombers, who come into today at 14-6.
I mean, let's just put it like this. Juan Soto has been a perfect fit for the Yankees, and he's only just getting started. Wait until it gets a little bit warmer, the ball travels a little bit more with where you could hit a wedge shot from home plate and get it over right field for a home run. You put that with Aaron Judge. This is a team that's also struggling, or a team that's doing well with Aaron Judge struggling, and he's not his usual powerful self. So when Judge gets it going and you still got Juan Soto doing what he does, it's hard to see anyone challenging the Yankees.
And,
right
you
now.
Know, and everybody was like, oh, they're going to hit, but how are they going to pitch? Here's a little update, the real-time update. Nestor Cortez, right now, 7-inning shutout ball against the Rays. So they have enough. Carlos Rodon has been good. So
yeah, that's another thing. They don't have Gerrit Cole.
Don't have Gerrit Cole. I can't argue. I think everyone would say they're number one right now. It's going to be good. Red Sox Yankees. Let's go.
I want to see that rivalry renewed again.
Yeah.
I want to see some.
I mean, like, all
I
want to
see some heated stuff.
If you want people to believe this comes back to circle of life, full circle, whatever you want to say, this show, we started off, do you believe in the Red Sox? What do you make of this team? What do you make of this 11-10 team with that is being led by a bunch of starters and then figuring out everything from there? What do you believe? Well, if you want to believe in this team, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but if you go in and you take care of the Yankees as the member of the Boston Red Sox, then you have gone a long way into sucking people in. That series, that first series, is going to be great. Verdugo, the works, it's going to be awesome. Well, speaking of awesome, it was a good show, Joe. It was a good show.
It was a great show.
All right. At BB isn't boring. At BB isn't boring, the socials. So we'll have all of the show, or a lot of the show anyway, up on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast account. Follow along all week long for the best in baseball biz. Appreciate the Playtesty guys jumping on. Please appreciate Lou Maloney jumping on. Appreciate everybody. Thank you. Baseball Isn't Boring. See you next week.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
It's winner-take-all time in the NBA and NHL, and FanDuel's giving you a shot to bring home a big win of your own. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to bet on spreads, money lines, player props, and more. Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make every playoff shot count. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.